someone's head off. No human contact. And if you interact, your life is on contract. Your best bet is to stay away, motherfucker. It's just one of those days. It's all about the he says, she says bullshit. I think you better quit letting shit slip, or you'll be leaving with a fat lip.
All right, folks, welcome back to the fourth official. And that was Limp Bizkit mixed with Seinfeld. You're not mic'd up yet. Try again.
It's too late.
Fine. That is the voice of Gavin Eubank. You happy to be here?
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
It's good. We also are joined by Kyle Foley.
Hey, dicks out for Harambe.
Getting off a thing with the BBC.
Want to try that again?
Sorry. I was just getting off a thing with the BBC. I forgot about you guys for a minute.
I think they were getting off of you.
That's true. Well,
they're getting off of you?
Yeah. It's
phrasing.
Yeah, the phrasing's a little awkward. But yeah.
And then, of course, Brad Newton.
I'm a human, and I'm coming.
I didn't say those words.
You did last
week.
That
was not me.
That was last week. You said those words.
I'd like to be excluded from this narrative.
Of course. All right. So, let's get right into it, because we're going to be moving right along fairly quickly. Orlando City won a game under their new head coach, Jason Kreis. Hooray. Yeah.
Just like I said they would.
Did you?
I did. I did predict them the win, and then I predicted them the win in a fashion I would set unrealistic expectations for the season moving forward.
No, hey, we all.
Yeah, that happened.
We all picked Orlando except for Kyle, who said draw. And we all picked Pride for the Pelicans. We'll get into that. That was just
God.
Bad. Okay.
Can we not?
3-1 the final. Orlando City looked good in the second half, not so good in the first half. But Kevin Molino, you guys. How about that guy?
Molino mania running wild.
Honestly. He's good. He's got 9 goals and 8 assists.
I mean, he's one of those things. He was so hyped up coming into the league last year. He never finally got to see what he was. And now he's finally there. And it's pretty exciting to watch this guy play at his full potential.
Oh, yeah. Macho madness. Yeah.
But the big thing is he's got a chance to do, well, he's probably going to get double-digit goals and assists.
I think that's even the biggest thing. Is coming off ACL surgery, the fact that he can get a double-double like that is
triple-double with games played.
Even 5 goals and 5 Ooh. Assists would be a good season for him, and the fact that he's on pace to, you know, double, get yeah. even more than that. Is
probably the most unheralded player in MLS.
I think if you're being realistic, he's probably not going to get the recognition, but I think if you want to talk about the MVP race, he's definitely within the top.
He's in the golden boot race now.
He's definitely in the top, I would say, top 10 players, maybe top 7 players.
He's in top 5 in scoring.
Yeah, I know.
And Kyle Larin has 11 goals.
And the most impressive thing is he's done most of his work, and Kaká's missed, what, like 10 games a season?
Yeah.
He's done a lot of it without Kaká, who he looks a lot better when he's playing with.
I mean, that third goal that Orlando City scored, the 11 passes between him, Kaká, and Bowden, that was magical.
I mean, those two together are a lethal combination, and the fact that they can now be together is going to raise his game to another level. And we've already seen it at a high level this season.
Yeah. Looking like that 2014 Molino.
Exactly.
20 goal Molino.
That was the Molino that everyone was hoping to see, and we're finally getting that.
Yeah. It's amazing that last year people were saying, oh, get rid of him. Like, when he went down with his ACL tear, people were like, oh, good, now we can start winning. But those people look really stupid now.
Yeah, we have a lot of stupid people.
No, they don't, because they're claiming that he's their favorite player. So let's not yeah. pretend like anyone's actually reasonable. Yeah,
these are now
this.
The people asking for Kaká to leave because he keeps getting hurt.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So let's
get
not,
rid of him. He's injured.
Let's not act like any of this is like new or anything like that.
It's not new.
I
at
mean,
all.
Yeah, I get we're making fun of fans because they're all garbage. But there is a legitimate argument to the maybe it's time to move on from Kaká thing.
No, there's not.
Did you see him play the other night?
Have we seen it consistently in the last year and a half?
Because he's been hurt.
Every game he's played
plays,
so far.
He's got 3 goals and 6 assists, which in, what, 10 games is pretty good.
Right, but when we're looking, I'm talking, again, I'm not talking about right now get rid of him, but I'm saying if we look at the end of the year, look at going into next year, do we consider moving on from him, replacing him with the
MVP? Why would you get rid of your star designated player heading into a new stadium? That's
how many jerseys has he sold for Orlando City?
That's
how much of a marketing
I get it. He's here because he's great
and he's
marketing.
Good. He still plays well. Like, despite him being a marketing boy, he still has 3 goals and 6 assists in 10 games. When he plays, he's good.
Yeah, you can't deny there's production.
I think if you scrap the season,
play that off.
34-year-olds get hurt. That's just the nature of sports. That's my point.
Keeping him around.
He'll be 36 by the time his contract laps up. I don't know if you really want to keep him beyond that. I see where Kyle's getting at. Like, it's going to fall off, and it's going to fall off hard just based off the way he plays. But right now, no, I don't think you talk about, you know, moving on. But you do have to think about life after Kaká. By the time his contract is up, you already have to have something there in place.
Right. And they've got the 2 years, well, I would say 2 years from now before Kaká is 36 years old in order to find that next Kaká. And he's almost grooming Kevin Molino to be the next Kaká for Orlando City.
I mean, yeah, he's got another year and a half left on his contract, so he'll be done. They'll have to find that in 2018. I think, I mean, they'll have a ton of money to play with then, especially with the new stadium finally done. They'll have that money off the records. It's going to be something to watch. I mean, like you said, with helping Molino, I think he's such a technically skilled player, and everybody has seen this. Everybody knows this. You know, Adrian Heath praised him so much. And the biggest thing is that he didn't have that confidence. Now he's got that confidence, and we're seeing that in his play. We're seeing that in the way he's, you know, actually using that skill to, you know, create opportunities and, you know, get in open space and, you know, set up other players.
Yep.
And it's just exciting to watch. I think he is going to be a big part of this team down the road and moving forward, especially once Kaká leaves and if they don't bring in someone immediately.
You just gotta,
he can be that guy that fills that number 10 role. Without
right. You just got to hope he's in Jason Christ's plan, too.
I mean, with a player like that, how do you not have him in your plan?
I don't know.
I mean, I think it's going to be something. It's going to be interesting to watch to see how Christ obviously molds this roster into his own over the next couple of years, but I think he has to be in those plans.
By the way, can we talk about how people are pronouncing Jason Christ right now? Like, all over the media, I've heard Chris.
Because people are stupid.
I do research.
Look, the last name's easy. It's his first name I have problems with.
All right, we're going to disconnect from you. Thanks for that, Kyle Fuller.
We all just...
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Kyle Fuller.
We've had some problems with that line. Thanks anyways, Kyle.
Kicked off 2 shows in 1 night.
Wrecked.
Let's go for 3.
All right, last thing about Orlando City we'll talk about. Antonio Nocerino actually looked like a decent player the other night. Not worth
$600,000. He's looked like a decent player in several games now.
Yeah, but not like a $600,000 player, but a serviceable midfielder who hustled and you know, tried hard.
I think the biggest thing is that since we've seen Christ, and it's kind of been a change in attitude. One of the things he talked about after in his post game, Christ did, is that he I mean, Christ said, let me pull up the quote here. He said, quite frankly, he did not see him starting when he came into Orlando, but he's seen his performance over the past couple of weeks in training and then the friendly that he's earned that opportunity, and that's a pretty impressive to say.
Yeah. Like so said, people who come out and say Antonio Nocerino doesn't work hard, he doesn't deserve to be on a team because he doesn't give any effort.
Okay, I mean, but up until the last game, two games, that was true.
Right, but I mean, then
that, again, that's not
they don't see what happens in training. The reason he kept getting starts was because he looked good in training.
Yeah, but we're talking about practice.
I got Christ's quote here. He said, "A player that I took particular interest in that we're trying to do tactically, and he was taking a particular interest in organizing the players around him. I'll be frank and tell you that I didn't come here last week thinking he would start this weekend. I clearly did not. But he's a player that in training session on Tuesday and the match on Wednesday and the training session again on Friday earned his spot, and I think he has a really nice performance." So obviously he's showing Christ that he can be up to this level. Christ benched Christian Aguita and Darwin Saran, which, by the way, he doesn't like to use that term, benching. He asked us not to use that term anymore. But he obviously benched them for their performances in training. I think it's going to be one of those things that we see. He's not like Adrian Heath, or he's not like a coach that's just going to pick the best 11 each week and out. He's going to pick the players
that
have earned their spot, that have deserved to start, and that he thinks right now at that moment are going to give them the best chance to win, which is kind of important because you're rewarding those players. We see a lot of times good players don't get opportunities.
Yep.
If they're putting in the work and they're showing it, and they're getting opportunities, that's where they have the chance to thrive. And I think in a situation like that, it's going to push everybody else to go into training every day and put everything in, get their work done, and earn those spots. And it just makes everybody better.
Got to get good.
Yep.
Right, Brad?
Get good, noob.
Get good, scrubs.
All right, moving on to the Orlando Pride. We're not going to spend too much time on this. They lost 1-0 to the worst team in NWSL this year, the Boston Breakers. I didn't watch the game. I watched highlights of the game. It was bad. And let's move on.
varying shades of white all across Boston were very happy with this game.
Yeah, Kristen Edmonds started as a fullback, and then Sam Wittman started as a forward. So they were just pretty much switched out.
All you need to know right there.
Yeah. Meanwhile, OCB had a really crazy game against the league-leading Louisville City FC. They were down 1-0 going into the 90th minute, get a penalty. Tyler Turner converts for his fourth goal of the year. And then about a minute and 30 seconds later, right at the cusp of ending the game, Keegan Smith gets a very lucky, I think it was deflected, but it went in the back of the net, and Ranjitsing, the goalkeeper from Louisville City, kind of dove away from the ball.
I watched that replay from behind the goal a few times, and it's hard to tell. I mean, it looked like the shot already had some arc onto it.
Right. It's really hard to tell.
Yeah, it's hard to tell whether it was already on its arc down or it arced after it hit Michael Cox in the chest. I want to say it didn't hit him, but...
OCB got lucky towards the end of the game?
Does it matter? Yeah, it doesn't matter who he did it.
Isn't that unbelievable? It is unbelievable. So they're undefeated in 7. That includes a lot of draws, though.
Remember when they were trash?
Yeah. Those days.
Like, literal trash.
Remember when Orlando City was undefeated going into that third month of the season?
No.
Oh. It happened. All right. Enough Orlando City stuff. Like I said, we're moving right along here. MLS news. Alejandro Bedoya, U.S. men's national team player, apparently will be going to the Union from Nantes in France. Transfer fee is $1 million with salary between $750K and $850K.
I think it's interesting. Jeff Carlisle, VSPNFC.com, just tweeted out a few minutes ago. Somebody was asking what the updates were on that. It said it's going to go down the wire. Philly has the inside track, but Chicago is also making a push since it has the number one allocation spot.
Huh.
Hashtag blind draw alert part 2. Ooh.
Huh? Oh, with Drogba?
Yeah. Jermaine Jones?
That too. So is it part 3? What happened with the Drogba thing?
Drogba was traded. They traded his rights to Montreal.
Right. Okay.
Jermaine Jones was the only blind draw because both he and...
Quote, Chicago. Blind draw.
Yeah.
Was it really a blind draw, though?
Envelopes.
Yeah. You never know with the MLS.
Envelopes that had both the same team's name in it.
Yeah. Exactly. It was just one envelope with 2 New England Revolution cards in it.
What were the teams it was between? It was New England Revolution and
Chicago.
So I think both times players were like, I'm not fucking playing in Chicago.
No one's playing in Chicago.
We know Drogba did that. We know Drogba didn't want to play in Chicago.
Yeah. And who? Jermaine Jones
probably did the same thing.
Yeah, if Ale Bedoya says, I don't want to play in Chicago, they'll be like, Philly wins.
He's from New Jersey. That's why the Philly move makes sense.
Because it's
close to where he's from. He wants to raise his kid in the States.
It makes sense.
He would obviously probably want to raise his kid close to where he's from.
How does that whole trashing MLS on a constant basis on Twitter work, though?
Just be like, I had your honor.
Well, here's what happens.
Just kidding.
It's okay if he shows up and dominates the league. Then he just kind of says by his play, he's like, I was right. If he comes and he isn't very good, then we make fun of him endlessly. Call him a little bitch and have a lot of fun.
Okay.
I mean, I've always been a fan of Bedoya. I think he's got a good game and he can help the Philadelphia Union, but the problem is with them, it doesn't really fix a ton. Their defense has been the thing letting them down mostly lately. That was one of their stronger points early in the season, and now it's kind of they're leaking those goals and it's not helping, but still Bedoya's a good player. I think MLS will benefit from him. Last year, for the last FIFA game, I was doing a franchise with Fulham, and I brought him in, and he was my great attacking midfielder for me. He helped get me back to the Premier League. Pretty excited to see what he can do for Philly.
Yeah, because FIFA and real life go hand in hand.
I mean, they are.
Yeah.
Sure. Did you hear about that guy who won the Puskas Award for best goal in 2015? He quit professional soccer to become a professional FIFA player. That's my weird news story, by the way. Spoiler alert.
We're skipping ahead.
Yeah. It was just a nice segue.
Spoiler alert.
I'm pretty sure there was a player at one point who said like he learned a new skill move from playing FIFA.
Yeah, that was Kevin Molina.
Okay. I didn't know who it was, so I don't want to say
Kevin Molina was a huge fan of FIFA. Just saying.
Yeah, I see it all.
He said no, he in one interview a few years ago, he said that he actually like is able to study the game through FIFA and learn a bit more. So
he just plays as Messi, does some of the moves, he's like, all right, I got this now.
I mean, yeah. I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't learn new players all the time because of FIFA.
Yeah.
Players, yeah, but
yeah, no, I said plays like the way the game flows.
No, I'm just saying, I learn things through FIFA.
Yeah, no, I learn a lot about like younger players in other leagues when you're playing like a manager mode. That's what you try to do. You try to scout out the young guys. So you kind of learn.
Like Pulisic.
And then you look, yeah. And then you look realistically and you're like, oh shit, this guy's like.
They're like, dude, that guy scored 50 goals for me. Why is he not playing for fucking in the Bundesliga?
That's how.
Because he's actually bad.
That's how it was for me and Dom Dwyer. Because when I was starting Ultimate Team, he was my first player as like a striker and he scored like 30 goals. And then all of a sudden he's in Orlando. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Anyways, let's talk about an article that Bloomberg just recently released. Apparently buying an MLS franchise just got like tons more expensive. Used to be $100 million. Now it's just double and $200 million. So
I mean, it's actually not that.
Orlando, when they came in, they were at what, $75 million was their expansion?
I think they were, no, they were $100 million.
No, they were, it was only like 70 something.
Only $70 million. Yeah. Sure. Okay.
I think it's interesting. I mean, it's caught a lot of flack. I mean, I get it because MLS is kind of getting to the point where they want to be taken seriously and you want to get those ownership groups that you know are committed so where they don't just see teams like Philadelphia and Chicago where the ownership groups really aren't that invested.
Right.
But at the same time, I mean, MLS is, when you look at the expansion fees for other leagues, let me find what they were. I mean, the most recent ones, like the NHL just got $500 million from Las Vegas. I mean, that's the NHL's revenue of the top four professional sports to the lowest, but their revenue is much higher, most likely, than MLS.
True.
Their popularity is much higher. They have the more right to demand that. I think the NFL in 1999, whenever the Houston Texans came in, was like $700 million,
yeah.
Which is crazy to think at that time because that number is definitely over a billion now of...
Yeah,
of an NBA team. What was the NBA back in 2004? 400.
It's been a while since an NBA team, though.
Million. It was like, yeah, 2004, but
you can look at it and say like the Clippers were just bought for $1.2 billion. So that expansion fee is definitely probably matching right along there.
Yeah,
yeah. It was 2004 or $400 million. The last MLB
okay.
franchises in 1998 were $130 million.
Okay.
Cool. And we just saw LAFC come into the league for a good $110 million.
Yeah, it's just going to keep going up. So by the time Minnesota or, well, not Minnesota, Detroit or Sacramento get in, it's being like, yeah, $300 million.
That's what it kind of makes difficult because you see all these small market teams that are trying to build this up and get it to where, but can they afford that?
Yeah.
Can
when the Miami Harambe's come in.
Yeah, can you get the investors in a Nashville or a Detroit city to do that? Obviously, with what's-his-face, Dan Gilbert, you probably can, though.
By the way, there is a soccer team in Arizona called Gorilla FC.
Oh, my God.
They've already got the kits team? Made. I think so, yeah. They've already got the kits made. They've already got, you know, all the branding of a gorilla.
They could have had a mascot if he wasn't killed.
Oh, God. All right, moving on. New York Red Bulls captain Dax McCarty, also Winter Park native Dax McCarty, out 4 to 6 weeks with a tibia fracture. So that's not good for the Red Bulls.
Bones turning into dust and usually not great.
Break a leg, man.
Sucks for him. He's one of the more fun players to watch.
All right. The saga of Fabian Castillo going to Turkey has hit a snag. And by snag, I mean he's not going to Turkey anymore. Last week, we actually talked about it. We talked about it last week saying, hey, he's going to Turkey, $2 million, and then the team has to give another $2 million in January to make the transfer official, or he'll be coming back to Dallas. They didn't even give the first $2 million, so they're like, yeah, he's coming back. But he's not back.
The plane has crashed into the mountain, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but...
The hurricane killed them.
Yeah, but but the pilot survived, and now he doesn't want to go back home.
Huh. Well, now he lives on the mountain.
That's pretty much where Fabian Castillo is right now. He's like on a proverbial mountain because he doesn't want to go back to FC Dallas, apparently, but he can't go to any other club. So like, I guess they're trying to find another place for him to go. Orlando City needs, you know, winger. They don't need him, but would you mind him coming to Orlando?
If you're talking about speedy, flashy Colombian wingers that have a lot to prove. Carlos Rivas is in a very, very, very similar situation than Fabian Castillo.
Would you trade Fabian Castillo for Carlos Rivas?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but no, they're not gonna.
If he wants out that badly?
I mean, if they move him...
Hey, I'm just saying...
And Dallas wants another one prove, they can obviously trade him there.
Breck Shea might want to go back to Dallas. Just saying.
See, this is something we should. That'd be a decent. This is something we should keep an eye on.
This is why
we got to keep Breck Shea around, so that way we're expansion compliant.
bring in these. I've got great takes.
That's why when Paul McDonough wants him again, we can just, you know, say like, hey.
Well, yeah, it's true. We could get him to Atlanta for something.
No, that's just expansion draft.
Let him take them.
Yeah.
All right. Next thing, David Moyes, the new coach of Sunderland. He wants DeAndre Yedlin over there.
Well, actually, he wants a better player, but he may have to settle, is basically what he said. He's like, we're going to look around for a better player, but it's late in the transfer window, so I don't know if we can.
He it's said that thing where you're like at a bar at 4 in the morning and you're just kind of looking around like, oh, man, there's not a lot of options here.
He said Yedlin made a decent impact. He's a player who we have talked about in the last week a lot, and we have spoken to people about him. So I would say that he's a player who is out there, but he's among a number of players who they're looking at. So
I think it's also interesting. I saw a tweet. I can't remember who tweeted it, but it was someone was sorting sources close to Yedlin that said he's not too keen on actually playing for David Moyes. Mm. But the
could you blame him?
Yeah, I mean, the quest remains. It's top flight, first team football, and he just wants to play. So I mean, he doesn't necessarily want to play for Moyes, but if there's an up, he's obviously not going to start at Tottenham this year.
Well, I know a team who needs a fullback.
I know a team that needs a lot.
Anyways, speaking of other like moves around, Kennedy Mbwaganike. He used to play for the Fire. He is now with DC United, and the Fire have signed an Armenian 21-year-old named David Arshakyan. So Mbwaganike has been with the Fire for a few years now, and that's actually been a really good forward. But now DC United get a really good forward, so they kind of got better. Thoughts, if any?
DC has been making a lot of moves this transfer window, while most of the league has been sitting dormant. I think that's good for them. They're going to obviously benefit from that. They've made a couple of big moves. They got Sam Lloyd. Now you got Mbwaganike.
And they got Patrick Mullins.
Yeah, Patrick Mullins, who even scored a goal this weekend.
Who? They signed Josh Norman. No, I'm sorry. Those are Redskins. My bad.
They even got rid of Fabian Espinola.
Yeah, Espinola went to... Yeah. Next thing. Julian Green scored a hat trick against Inter Milan.
Beautiful. A first half hat trick.
34 minutes it took him to do that?
Yep.
It's incredible.
It was 4-0 by the 34th minute.
He wants to play first team football for them, and he's got a chance.
I mean, scoring a hat trick against Inter Milan, even though it's a preseason friendly, still
helps.
Something.
Yeah, it still helps.
Yep. Well, I mean,
can't hoit.
The thing they were talking about that was Ancelotti wants to play him as just an out-and-out forward and not on the wing.
Right.
And right now, really, their only guy in that position is Rob Lewandowski.
Yeah.
If he wants a break... Or like if he needs a break physically, or he's suspended, or anything like that, then you've got Julian Green waiting. When he was playing out on the wing, he was behind Ribery, Robin, Komen, Douglas Costa. They have a few other young guys he was behind.
Yep.
Now he's just next in line. So we'll see if they keep him give him some playing time. That'd be nice. He's proven that he's good enough as long as he can keep his head on straight. And I think after the 2014 World Cup, he kind of let it get to his head a little bit, then kind of melted down when he was on loan. Part of that was because he went to Hamburg and they were fucked up, but
Hamburger. Yeah, it's really all about how Ancelotti views him, really. I mean, he said good things about him.
Also,
this preseason,
U.S. need a forward. Who else do they have?
Dom Dwyer.
He's not official yet.
Well, Clint Dempsey's going to play another 2 years.
He would play behind strike. Like he's an attacking midfielder.
Yeah,
not a natural like you striker. Josie Altidore is the only striker. What was their problem in the World Cup a few years ago?
That we didn't have Landon Donovan.
Well, we didn't have a striker.
That they didn't have Landon Donovan for a while.
Right.
But okay. By the time we get to Russia,
miss the sitter.
If you guys wait a couple more years, Pierre De Silva will be ready. So he's coming on.
There's even more than him. There's guys that have been playing. Jordan Morris by that point will have reclaimed his form of being the Seattle Messi.
He missed a big chance on Sunday. Let's not call him Seattle Messi.
For all we know that he pays his taxes.
Well, you've also got a few other younger guys
that
are playing around the world. I don't think Julian Green will be the striker. I think he'll play on
but
the
wings.
But
playing at
Bayern
Munich
team.
Compared to playing at Seattle.
Yeah, but there's going to have to be some sort of like ungodly plague that hits them for him to become the starter in the next couple years.
Right.
they're a big enough club. He's never going to be the guy unless he breaks out and score. He's going to have a good season in the next couple years and then go to a smaller club and be the guy. He'll never be the guy at Bayern Munich.
I mean, Lewandowski, well, he's 27. He's not retiring anytime soon.
Yeah, and Julian Green's not super. I mean, he's young, but he's
not really young.
Is he 22 now? I want to say he's 22 now.
Something like that. He's 21.
Okay.
And he's from Tampa.
My point is, he's going to perform well for the next 2 years, at least, at Bayern Munich. But then I think another team, he may not even last long, because I think another team is going to want to come in and swoop him, which I hope, because I want him to be the number one guy somewhere so that he can start performing. And then eventually, yeah, if he happens to be the best for the U.S. men's national team, then sure. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think there's other guys coming up, too.
Speaking of forwards and Tampa. Freddie Adu.
What about him? Just wanted to say his name.
He's the savior.
Okay, sure.
Get him back in the picture.
The Whitecaps have acquired Giles Barnes from the Houston Dynamo, which is kind of a big deal because Giles Barnes was the best player at Houston, was their captain, their scorer. And
I don't know if you guys could see this on your way here, but when I was driving down I-4, I can actually see Houston waving the white flag all the way in the horizon.
It's a fire sale.
Yep.
That's pretty much it.
The Yankees fire sale. The Yankees claim they're not waving the white flag. It's not white. It's egg. Eggshell. Eggshell white.
Cool. All right. Speaking of just general players, what? It's a bad transition. I know. Calm down.
No, just Gavin drinking straight into his microphone.
Oh, that. Yeah, well, Gavin, he does that. I just kind of tend to ignore it now. He does this. Anyway, Tally Hall, former Orlando City goalkeeper, has retired to become a police officer.
It's the most Tally Hall thing.
Yeah. He could become an outdoor hunter guy.
Tally Hall becoming outdoor a police hunter officer guy.
I don't know how else to describe it. He loves the outdoors.
Where is he going to go be a police officer?
Didn't say yet.
Probably. Washington?
He's from the Pacific Northwest. He can go back to Seattle.
I assume he's going to go
back home. Back
Orange County Police Department wouldn't hate to have him.
Okay.
He loved it in Orlando. The fans loved him.
There was something that I saw. I don't remember who, but one of the fans that was very outspoken when we cut him,
Adrian Heath's new bodyguard,
was commenting when he retired, and they said, "See, I told you this is a great decision." And I said this from a lot of people, so I'm not going to single out anyone in particular. But the overwhelming consensus was, we told you we should have gotten rid of him. Bendick was going to be a great option. If you look back to what they said, I'm pretty sure the same post I saw 1,000 times was, fuck.
Why did we get rid of
Tally Hall?
Why did we get rid of him? He was our best player. He was the only reason we were decent last year. Oh my God, I'm so pissed.
Blame
Bendick's a piece of shit. Toronto
then
sucks.
Then they go out and, you know, like protest outside of the city office holding signs.
Yeah.
That.
All right, asking for answers when they don't really owe you
expectations.
Any.
Next thing. This is from.
I'm going to go stand outside the office and say, "Thank you for signing Joe Bendick," and just sell a picket sign out there.
That was a good personnel decision.
Good you job, guys are too competent for us.
All right. This is coming out of NASL and the Tampa Bay Rowdies because, of course, the NASL levied a record fine on Rowdies owner Bill Edwards for the criticism of officials. We talked about it last week. He sent a video, posted it on YouTube, to the NASL offices saying, "Here, see? We get bad calls. Fix it." And then they're like, "Ha! Here's a fine."
Yeah, you're just asking for shit if you do that.
Yeah. He came out with a statement saying, "I understand Commissioner Peterson had to fine me. I think we all know that these problems exist, and they never seem to get better. I've had several conversations with the commissioner and others in the NASL about this very problem over the years. I felt compelled to speak up at this time as the owner of the Rowdies. As for the fine, it is probably money well spent. It has fans, teams, and others talking about the problem. Talk is good, and it is the only way to resolve an issue."
I mean, it's typically well known that any member of any league, especially an owner, if you come out against that league, they're gonna fine you.
Oh, here's a fun thing. He says, "I'm going to send Commissioner Peterson some extra money for the fine he will probably give me for making this statement."
I mean,
just stop talking.
Yes.
Just stop.
Please stop talking.
you mad, bro?
He's mad.
He's mad online. There's some PR, there's some person who works in their communications office that's just like running into that like press conference, just waving their arms frantically, like, no, stop talking, please stop, no.
After he escaped from the closet where he was handcuffed and blindfolded.
Yeah, just run into the press conference and tackle him off the stage.
I mean, he's got to be a little bit happier now that Wolfsburg and maybe River Plate are coming to Al Lang later next year.
Yeah, sure. All right, yeah,
he's happy.
Next thing. Two teams in a youth tournament played 90 minutes and passed the ball around the back going 0-0 so that they could both advance to the next round of the tournament.
Listen.
Pretty much a fix on the game. It was a 90-minute game that just didn't happen. And then there was another team that actually really tried for 90 minutes and were like dead tired and they won. But because this game was 0-0, they didn't move on.
I'm not saying I don't endorse this, because you got to do what you got to do to move on. I mean,
yeah, but what is it? What is
do what you got to do?
What's the precedent that you're telling the kids? Like, winning's more important than being a.
Oh yeah, that's obviously
survive in advance.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what the stakes are in this tournament? But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely poor sportsmanship. It's disgraceful.
So what is the background to this tournament though? Is it just like 12-year-olds or like?
I think it was one of those big national youth team tournaments out in Dallas.
U.S. Soccer National Championships.
Yeah, it's a
yeah. It was ESPN FC was covering it. So I mean, that's. It's not.
It was a U18 girls.
Have you watched the video from it?
Yeah.
There's a video of like a minute where like these two girls in the back line are just passing it back and forth, short little.
Yeah, it was just
20 foot passes to each other.
I mean, it sounds like the most boring thing ever, but that also sounds like it's the fault of whoever designed this tournament.
Yep.
Like, no, I mean, there are ways to circumvent that.
No, because it would have been the equivalent of in the 2014 World Cup if the USA and Germany did the same thing because they were in the same exact position.
It's not like we haven't seen this in sports. That's why they do. The simultaneous group games in the World Cup now, because they used to be able to fix that where if a game happened earlier, you know, all right, well, we already advanced, so let's try.
That's why
it was match fixing.
That's why you can't have like a tournament match like that end in a 0-0 draw. You have to go to penalties.
Not a group game. Group games can end in a draw.
No, but that's what I'm saying though. When you set up this tournament, you make the provision in there that they can't end in 0-0 draws in order for both teams to advance.
But how do you determine that?
The way I just said.
Can you allow?
Yeah, but how do you determine that the teams purposely through the game?
Can you allow a 1-1 draw?
In that situation, you can say yeah. But if it's a game ends 0-0,
is a draw?
Well, I was just saying 0-0 as like the example of like this one match being. But just don't allow draws in your group stage.
Well, then we should just not allow draws in soccer, which is something a lot of people would be supportive of.
That's American.
But
didn't Mike Bianchi say get? Less draws yeah,
but I mean, if you're having if you're having a tournament,
siding with the opinion of Mike Bianchi, I mean,
I'm just saying, did Mike Bianchi say that? Because that's the most American thing.
In a tournament, I get it that you have a draw there to have a differentiation between like you have an odd point in there. But if you have, there's other ways you can establish tiebreakers and who moves on and who doesn't, and you can establish that from the scores. If you just eliminate draws from tournament play, you don't have to eliminate it from like a regular season match or anything like that. Just eliminate it from tournament.
Fair.
All right. Let them end in penalties.
Moving on. Brad Guzan, Mr. Clean, signed with Middlesbrough because Aston Villa was relegated. So Middlesbrough just promoted, signs the American goalie, and they'll probably get relegated because of it.
Well, he won't be the starter.
I mean, he's not going to be the reason why they get relegated either, but...
They'll get relegated.
Stranger things have happened. Bournemouth stayed up last season. They finished, what, like 15th?
Yeah.
It's good for them.
Leicester won the league.
Yeah,
it's true. Chelsea almost got relegated.
Nah, they finished middle of the...
I mean, there was a time there.
They were in the relegation race at the time they fired Jose Mourinho, so...
Yeah. Hey,
Jose Mourinho,
guess who got that mess?
I mean, didn't he win the Premier League the year before?
Yeah,
so shut the fuck up.
I'm just saying, if the players don't buy into him,
you're only as good as your last hit. So,
it's all right. Zlatan, getting Paul Pogba coming in.
Schweinsteiger going out.
I'm fine with that.
Sure.
I like him, but, he's old.
Yeah. Rob Bradley may be the new manager of Hull City.
Bob. Yeah, good for him.
I think Bob Bradley has always wanted to... Brad Bradley considers himself one of the best coaches in the world.
If he has the opportunity to do that, he's going to.
You just said Brob, too.
Brob Bradley is, you know, he's kind of had that reputation of just, you know, jumping from, like, kind of failing upward.
I think he's slowly moving up. He went from
Norway. That's his point.
No. But he's failing upwards.
He doesn't do that well at a job and then gets a better gig.
He's done well at his last few gigs.
Yeah, Laharve almost got promoted to Ligue 1.
Almost.
Yeah. Did he win the league in Norway, or he almost won the league in Norway?
Yeah, and then he went to Egypt coach.
The second level in France and almost got promoted.
Yeah, hearing a lot of almost and like playing in smaller leagues and then moving upward.
But he's taking these teams that aren't necessarily good and doing magical things with them
almost
and making them
better. Hey, I'm in Norway and we almost did something.
He's doing it in a year, though.
I'm in the second division of France.
How many years was he in Norway? Almost, 2 years?
I don't know.
A something. Year?
Sure.
He's only been in France a year. Okay. And he almost turned that team into a League One team.
But you cannot. Right. The point is, he spent, let's say it was one or two seasons in Norway, one season in France, and now all of a sudden he's in the Premier League.
Yeah. If he's like a pretty okay coach and getting him up, then sure.
He did not.
He won an MLS Cup with the Chicago Fire, Jesus. For crying out loud.
Tone it down. You're breaking the microphone.
I'm just getting angry for Bob Bradley. Takes out for Bradley.
As long as he signs his son, I'm happy.
Sure.
Brob and Michael back again.
Michael Bradley
again.
Is not.
Michael?
EPL.
And Brob. and Bradley is not an EPL coach.
Is an EPL coach.
To be fair, Brob, I mean, it's just like a combination.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Robert?
Robert, yeah. Robert Bradley.
Let's move on. Who's got weird news?
I don't have any.
Yeah. Gavin? Nothing weird ever happened.
We
got Mike Duffy's cat, who's too fat to make the trip to Tampa Bay with him.
Nah.
I thought it was funny.
Tampa fat cats ruin it for everyone.
Yeah. It's a shame.
All right. Moving on.
Man hospitalized.
We got a little bit of a time constraint. We could probably
man hospitalized after waiting 10 days at the airport for online girlfriend who never showed up.
Aw. 10 days?
That's why Brent hasn't been here.
He's got to pay that shipping and handling fee.
Wow. That's why he went to Michigan to go try and.
He better bring me back a Detroit City scarf.
Yeah, he'll probably forget. Yeah, all right, let's move on to predictions, shall we?
Give me some shitty little 6-inch scarf. Put on a keychain.
All right, predictions. Let's do it. So we can get Gavin to stop talking.
All right. First off, last week, we picked Real Madrid and PSG in Ohio. We all picked Real. PSG won. Bayern Munich, AC Milan.
Fucking Ohio never comes through for us.
We all picked Bayern. Pretty sure Bayern won.
Against who?
AC Milan.
Yeah, they won that game.
Chelsea, Liverpool. Chelsea won. Kyle
Jurgen Klopp doesn't understand why Americans watch baseball.
That was funny. Then we had Tottenham, Atletico Madrid in Melbourne. Who won that game?
Tottenham, Atletico Madrid.
I give up, Austin. Who won that game?
I don't know.
I don't watch a lot of preseason soccer of teams I don't care about.
Whatever. Celtic, Barcelona. Barcelona won.
Okay, but Celtic played a really good game.
They did.
Everton, man, you play tomorrow.
Yep. Real Madrid, Chelsea, and Michigan. Real Madrid won, barely. MLS homegrown game versus Mexico U-20s. Mexico U-20s won. Brad was the only one who picked it. Good for Brad.
I just couldn't pick against.
MLS All-Stars versus Arsenal. We all picked MLS.
Pick against MLS.
We all picked MLS. Arsenal won.
That was also a good game, though.
Yep. Orlando City, New England Revs. We all picked Orlando, except for Kyle, who picked draw. Orlando won. And we all picked Pride against the Breakers, and the Breakers won. So
that one broke our hearts.
Yeah, that was sad.
Broke our furs.
All right, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games for this week. 7 games, guys.
It was 10 before we started recording.
I know.
You've changed it. I'm just letting the Peanut Gallery know.
That's
well, you knew your damn radio show. They made us cut half the show.
Central FC versus Vancouver for the CONCACAF Champions League.
Where is Central FC from?
Pretty sure they're from Trinidad.
Yeah, Trinidad. Kay. Isn't that the team Kenwin Jones was loaned to by Atlanta, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to go with Vancouver.
It's in Vancouver?
It is not. It is in Trinidad.
Still going with Vancouver.
MLS teams don't fare too well when they travel outside of the country.
But it's Trinidad.
Yeah, exactly. But it's Trinidad.
But there's MLS talent on there.
Yeah.
Kenwin Jones.
This was the country that birthed the Kevin Molina.
Okay.
Also, MLS team aren't very good in CONCACAF Champions League.
They aren't.
So who are we going with? Gavin.
I'm going to go with draw.
Wow. Yeah. Lame. Brad.
I'm just playing the favorites here, man.
Central FC.
Kyle.
I'm going to go with Vancouver.
Pretty excited for the Champions League to come back. Fox did not pick up the TV rights for that this year.
Who did?
I don't know. They were supposed to announce it today.
It's actually on Univision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were supposed to announce the English language rights. Univision has all the Spanish rights, but
I think they have all the rights.
There's no way.
So we're going to have Ramsey Sandoval as the English one?
There's no way Univision has the English rights.
What do you mean, Ramsey Sandoval?
Okay. Yeah.
Just
what I'm saying is there had to have been a I mean, why would Fox not go back after it?
They just didn't.
Yeah, they just didn't. It doesn't matter.
If the English stuff is on Univision, I'm building a goddamn wall.
No politics.
That wasn't politics.
That was a whatever. Barcelona, Leicester City in Sweden.
Barcelona, Manchester City, Sweden, Barcelona.
Brad. Man, did you see that one like really, really good goal that Leicester City scored last week?
Yeah. It was really good.
It was really good. This is great content. Barcelona.
Talk about Leicester City, go with Barcelona. Kyle.
Yeah, I want to pick Leicester City, but
go ahead, Barca.
Yeah, it's Barcelona. I can't.
Yeah, I'll go
Barca. But I think it'll be a good game.
Red Bulls versus Antigua.
Red Bulls.
Yeah.
Red Bulls.
Is it in New Jersey?
Yeah, it's a dumb International Champions Cup friendly in New Jersey.
Oh.
That's like their second in like 3 weeks, Red Bulls. Isn't it?
Something like that.
I hate those so much.
Just to be fair, this Antigua team is probably filled with all those guys who used to play for Antigua Barracuda back in the USL days, and Orlando City used to beat them 7-0, so...
Yeah, that's why we all pick Red Bulls.
Yeah, going to have to go with the Red Bulls. Portland Timbers versus CD Dragon.
Portland.
Did you say Shitty Dragon?
No, CD Dragon.
Welcome to Shitty Dragon.
Shitty Walk. The Tims. Tims.
What was that?
What was that?
Oh, that was your computer.
It wasn't my computer.
It wasn't mine.
It was mine, I'm sorry.
Lame. Alright, Portland. Cool.
We're all gonna be wrong on that one.
Olympics! US women versus France.
US women, ooh. It's going to be exciting to watch something go in this tournament, but I think they got this one in hand.
Brad.
No Sid, no party. U.S.
Kyle.
I think U.S. is going to get off to a slow start in the Olympics. It's going to be a draw first game.
I'll go U.S. Orlando versus Seattle.
Ooh.
Mm. Last time these two teams played, Seattle won 5-0. Kaká was not good. The team was not good. Tyler Turner was red carded. Who will win? Gavin.
OCB?
No.
Holy crap, Gavin. Nope. You have headphones on,
Orlando,
too.
Orlando-Seattle? I think it's an exciting match. Seattle's struggling. They got a new coach. We got a new coach. Orlando's going to be at home. Orlando. Jordan Morris. Can't wait to see that guy.
Yeah. Can't wait to see him not play.
See Clint Dempsey. I hope he like rips something up, dude. I hope he takes a TIFO off the wall and just rips it now.
I hope he takes Tim Allen off the wall and rips it.
Damn.
Seattle is 1-3-1 in their last five. Orlando is coming off a pretty big win. Why the fuck not Orlando?
Kyle.
It's going to be a letdown. This is all the potential for a really disappointing game.
Uh-huh.
I mean, not really, but...
But Seattle is very shitty, so I think Orlando pulls this one out.
So in case anyone was watching, it was announced today that you can watch the CONCACAF Champions League on Facebook Live.
Huh.
That looks nice.
Facebook got those media rights.
Wow.
That's a millennial thing to do now, apparently.
Not even YouTube. That's like...
All right, last game we're going to pick today. Leicester versus Manchester.
Who calls YouTube games anyways?
I'll volunteer. Can't be worse quality than most USL games.
That was the point.
Yeah. Lester Manu.
We've only our best athletes broadcasting.
Wow, himself. Gavin, just keep interrupting me. I'm trying to get through this here. Lester versus Manu for the FA Community Shield at Wembley Stadium. It's technically like the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And both teams will be bad, but it'll probably be like a 1-0 win for whoever is not as bad. Who do you say wins?
Who was in it last year? Chelsea and...
Arsenal.
Arsenal, that's what I figured.
Yeah. And Arsenal won. 1-0.
Then Mourinho threw his metal whip into the crowd because he didn't want it.
Look, Mourinho's pissed about losing last year. He's got Zlatan on his team.
I don't think he really cares about losing last year.
I really don't think he cares.
Does anybody care about the community?
He probably forgets he even coached in that game last year.
Point had more to do with the entire season.
Cool, so who do you got?
The Community Shield. So I think Man United's going to win. He wants to start off on the right foot.
Brad.
Lester, Jamie Vardy kicks a goal so hard it makes Mourinho's head explode.
That was the 1-0 win then, yeah? Just Jamie Vardy's goal that knocks off Mourinho's head.
Sure.
Cool. Gavin.
I'm going to go with Lester, and the person that caught that silver medal last year is going to be there and throw it back at Mourinho.
So he gets another one?
Yeah, he's got his back. He's not even going to get one for this year. He's getting last year's back.
Last year's medal?
I'll go Leicester as well. Cool. We're done. Congrats, guys. We did this in under 45 minutes. Nope, just over 45 minutes. Okay. Well, we'll call it here. This is a very short edition of episode number 30. Yeah, we made it 30 episodes, you guys. Round of applause.
We're as old as Brent.
Very accurate. All right, folks, we'll see you next week for episode 31. Brent might actually be back, but Gavin probably won't be.